Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you all on this now, the fourth Sunday in ordinary time. It's so nice that it's not 8 degrees anymore, so that's good. But as we gather, we see our Lord seemingly amongst a bunch of people who loved him, people who were proud of him even. They were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. But just like that, things changed. And the next thing you know, they want to throw him off a cliff. I've been to Nazareth. I've been to the Holy Land. And I've been to Nazareth at this place where Jesus was from. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, they have a little area. It's not like a church, but it's kind of like a little designated area with an awning that is marked as the spot on which the town had been built, and the spot that traditionally was the spot where they led Jesus to throw him off the hill, off this cliff. And the cliff was, it is quite substantial. You certainly would die if you fell off. And yet here our Lord comes, and the question is, why do the people hate him so much? Why do they want to throw him off the cliff? It's because he's pricking their conscience. It's because he's saying to them stuff they don't want to hear. Jesus is saying to them things that they don't want to hear. And they're angry. And they're so angry that they want to murder him. They want to throw him off a cliff. You know, as a priest, my job is to be like our Lord in his prophetic mission of crying out like he did and calling us all to repentance. Huh? Amen? That's part of my job at least, right? That's why they pay me the big bucks, right? And yet, you know, if I got to be honest with myself, sometimes whenever I'm kind of thinking about my homily, one of the things that kind of comes across in my mind often that I have to kind of deal with is, how are you going to take my message, right? If I say something harsh, or if I say something that's challenging, or if I say something that perhaps some people might not like, I got to think to myself, well, how are people going to take it? Are they going to get offended and upset? Are they going to write to the bishop and start crying and complaining? Are they going to call the office and freak out, right? Are they going to go to other parishes, right? Right? That's something I think about. And it's something I have to wrestle with myself in my own prayer life to make sure that I never let the message or the reception of the message get in the way of the message itself. That the message, the gospel, needs to be preached. It has to be preached. And if I kind of draw back and I don't preach the hard truths because I'm afraid of what even you or other people might think, that I'm not doing my job. I'm doing a bad job. I'm not being like our Lord. And so that's the question that I pose to myself. Am I being a good preacher? Am I being a good conveyor of the word? Or am I being timid? Right? Now, the question that I have for you right? Because I'm asking myself questions. I got to ask you questions too, right? The question that I have for you, though, is what do you expect from a homily, right? Our Lord, in a sense, was giving a homily in the synagogue over here in Nazareth, right? He was giving out, what do you expect in it, right? What's your expectation? Do you come to it expecting to be entertained, maybe, a little bit? Do you kind of expect to be, you know, riveted and entertained? Do we expect to be built up and encouraged? Do we expect that somehow the homily is supposed to make me feel good? All right? Now, here's the thing. Now, I'm not saying homilies can't be entertaining, right? They can't be, they certainly can be encouraging, and they certainly can build us up. But at the heart of what a homily is all about is that it's meant to make the Word of God alive and relevant in our day and time today. Now, the Word of God is what it is, huh? Amen? Amen? The Word of God is what it is, and it does not change, however we do, right? And the world changes, and cultures and times change. And so the job of the priest in this and all ages is to try to make the gospel alive and relevant for people in its own day, in his or her, in his day. And so if I am not preaching it, that I'm doing a bad job. And if we are receiving it thinking that it's supposed to entertain us or make us feel good, or perhaps even sometimes kind of dangerously solidifying in my own mind my own warped ideas of what the gospel is, then we could be in trouble. So today at this Mass, seeing how violently and how terrible these people treated our Lord, let's today, at this Mass, for my part, for me, I'm going to remember and try my hardest to remember that it's my job to preach the gospel with its hard truths, with all of it, and never be ashamed of it. For your part, the ones who hear the Word of God, for your part, let's make sure that you are approaching the Word of God not with your own preconceived notions about what it's supposed to say or how it's supposed to make me feel, but instead, be open, right? Instead, be open to the Word of God that might challenge us. Yeah, it might challenge us. It might challenge our notions of how things are supposed to be. Yeah, maybe we think premarital sex is okay. There's nothing wrong with it. No, as long as the Word of God, Jesus says it's bad. It's a mortal sin. Maybe we might think pornography is okay. The Word of God is clear. Our Lord is clear. Pornography is evil. And masturbation is a mortal sin. Maybe the gospel says, or maybe a priest or somebody like me will say, contraception is evil. It's inherently evil, right? But we might not like that, right? Abortion's evil. Gay marriage is evil. All those hot button topic issues that the gospel talks about is presented. And if we are closed minded and we don't let the Lord enter into our hearts to challenge our preconceived notions about what's right and what the gospel demands, then we become like rocks, immovable, closed up, unable to receive the water of regeneration that the Lord wants to give to us. So today at this Mass, my dear friends, let's make sure that for my part, I'm doing my best. Pray for me that I do my best and that I cooperate with the Holy Spirit of being a good and true preacher of the gospel. And for your part, I'm praying for you, and you can pray for yourselves, that you become authentic and open hearers of the Word. That your hearts are always open, ready to receive the gospel and all of its teachings and all of its challenges, no matter how hard or how difficult. Today at this Mass, let us come before our Lord with open hearts, praying for each other, that together we might be authentic hearers and doers of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.